Continue our study this evening of the life of the Apostle Peter, the study that we've been carrying on at our morning services. And I want to read now from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, reading from verse 22 to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they cried. They said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Amen. We pray for God's blessing upon the reading and the preaching of his holy word. This evening we have this famous and beautiful incident before us in the life of the Apostle Peter, where he walks on the water of the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm to come to his master. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Peter walking on the water. I want to begin by answering a question that perhaps many of you have wondered about asking about me as you've got to know me over the years. Perhaps the thought has come into your mind, does this man have any weaknesses at all? I do. I have one. It is a strong and completely irrational fear of heights. I suffer from extreme acrophobia. I cannot cope with heights. When I am up high and look down, the whole world seems to be revolving, and I think I'm going to plunge to the earth. On our honeymoon, my wife and I went to the top of the Sir Walter Scott Memorial in Edinburgh. And when we reached the top of that beautiful memorial, I was so overcome with terror that my wife had to lead me down by the hand with my eyes closed, thinking to herself, no doubt, I have committed my life and welfare to this pathetic object. And it has given me great sympathy for people who have fears. For children who don't like the water, for children who don't like the dark, for people who have fears, silly fears, unreasonable fears, but very, very real fears nonetheless. And I would say to parents, if your child happens to have such a fear, be very careful how you help them to cope with it. Don't make fun of it. Don't put too much pressure on them. There are things in our lives that we cannot explain. But one lesson I have learned from my fear is this: don't look down. Whatever you do, when you're up high, don't look down. And that's a good rule for all of us, for life. Don't look down. And in this incident recorded in Matthew's Gospel, if Peter had kept to that rule, he would have got on a lot better walking on the Sea of Galilee than he did. He walked in the waves, and he was able to walk in the waves until he looked down. And then he began to sink. This is the only gospel in which this particular part of the incident is recorded. The other gospels tell of Jesus walking in the water and stilling the storm, but Matthew alone tells of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And I think that he's given to us here as a typical disciple, a picture of the Christian life and of Christian experience. And we're all meant to see ourselves in Peter and in this experience which he had. And when Jesus is commenting on it, he identifies Peter's faith as the key component in this whole incident. The important thing is the faith which Peter has in Christ. And I want to look at Peter's faith under four headings. First of all, we see in this incident, and we're thinking particularly of verses 25 to 31. In the first place, we see faith's venture. Faith's venture. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." This is a very courageous proposal on Peter's part. He is suggesting that he is going to get out of this boat in which they're safe and start walking across the surface of the water. A strong wind has been blowing for some time. The surface of the lake is very rough and troubled, and the waves are high. And Peter is suggesting that he is willing to risk getting out of this boat and walking across the surface of the sea to his Lord and Master. And we may think that it is a very typical proposal of Peter, that Peter alone of the 12 disciples would have had the courage, or perhaps the foolishness, to make such a startling and unusual suggestion. What a thing to say. How could a human being walk on the surface of a stormy lake? This suggestion of Peter is born out of a reaction in him. He had been frightened and discouraged. The other Gospels tell us that the disciples had been rowing for between 3 and 3.5 miles against a very strong wind. It was tiring, exhausting work. There was a storm. The sea was rough. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, that darkest, most dismal and depressing of all times. That time when, for most of us, life seems bleakest. And suddenly in the darkness and their exhaustion and fear, they saw a figure walking across the surface of the sea. And naturally, they were terrified, as you or I would have been. You're crossing over from Larne to Stranraer some evening on a stormy winter night, and went to the deck of the ferry and stood leaning over the rail. You would be surprised to see someone walking along beside the ship on the sea. And the disciples were so frightened that they thought it was a ghost. And their fear was made worse. And then suddenly, to their delight and amazement, they realized that it was their beloved Master, Jesus himself. They'd been feeling his absence. They'd been feeling lonely without him. They had doubtless said to each other, "Why is the Master not here? I wish he was here with us. We would be safe in his presence." And suddenly, he is there. And then the reaction, in just this response, this automatic reflex response of enthusiasm and delight and joy, Peter makes this suggestion: "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, he may have had mixed motives. Our motives are often mixed. There may have been a little bit of pride. We don't know. He may have wanted to do something that the other disciples wouldn't do. He might have liked to show his particular relationship to Jesus. We don't know, but we do know that there were at least two good motives here. One was a simple love for Jesus that we always see in Simon Peter. Whatever is false, he loved Jesus Christ. He himself said, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you." And he always wanted to be close to Christ. And if you read, when you have an opportunity, John chapter 21, you will see that later on in his life, after the resurrection, he does exactly the same thing. They're out in the boat, and there's a figure at the shore, and John says it is the Lord, and Peter, without thinking, leaps out of the boat, admittedly into shallow water, and starts wading ashore. He wants to be near Jesus. He wants to be with him. And there is this love, this desire to be close to his Master, that leads him to make this very daring proposal. There's also a confidence in Jesus' power to enable him to share in his Master's triumph. "If it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." He believes that Jesus will enable him, that Christ will give him the power and the ability to do something that in himself he can't do, that he will do something supernatural, that the Lord will equip him to do something miraculous and amazing. Here is faith's venture. "Lord Jesus, call me to come to you on the water, so that I will do what you're doing, so that I will walk on the waves as you walk on the waves. I'll go through the storm safe as you go through the storm." And I think we're meant to see here a picture of the venture of faith in our own lives. For we all meet storms in our personal lives. Times when the waves are rough and the wind is fierce. And in those storms, we see Christ our Savior. And if we are Christians, our great longing in the storm is to be with Jesus, to be near to him, and to get from him some of his strength and his ability to help us cope, so that we will be able to do what we're not able to do, so that we'll be able to share in his victory. And this is the longing and the desire of Christian faith, This is faith's venture. Lord Jesus, help me to walk on the waves. Help me to walk through the storm. Give me the ability to cope with these things which naturally would plunge me into ruin and desolation. Faith's venture. Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Secondly, we have faith's triumph. Faith's triumph. We read in verse 29 that Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. How amazing. It was a great miracle to see Jesus of Nazareth walking on the waves of the sea. How could you walk on the waves and not sink? That was a mighty miracle. But there's an even greater miracle here. It's a greater miracle to see Simon Peter walking on the waves of the sea. That's something even more amazing. We could believe that Jesus Christ could walk in the waves. He's the Son of God. He has miraculous powers. He's the Savior of the world. God Himself. That's amazing, but we could believe it. But to think of a mere man walking on the waves. Simon Peter, the fisherman. The man so impulsive, so unstable, so weak and foolish in many ways. So the first great miracle is Jesus walking. But the greater miracle is his disciple walking. His follower walking on the waves. And if the disciples were astonished when they saw the Lord, then surely they were doubly astonished when they saw Peter, one of themselves, doing something that they would have considered so impossible and so difficult. And yet, we see such miracles constantly. We see such miracles constantly. We see our fellow believers walking on the waves, walking through the storm. We see our fellow believers whom we know to be as frail and weak as ourselves. And yet somehow they're being supported. They're being strengthened. They're in a position of great difficulty. Perhaps they're being buffeted by the wind and waves of besetting sin. Some tremendous temptation or weakness in their personality. Yet they're coping with it. They're fighting against it and they're overcoming it. Perhaps it's the wind and waves of suffering. We know a Christian for whom pain and weakness and disability are constant companions. And we say to ourselves, I could never cope with that. But they're coping with it. They're coping with it. And they're not sinking. And they're not being swallowed up because there is a hand holding them up. Perhaps it's the wind and waves of sorrow and loss. And we see God's people walking through those wind and waves, upheld by the power of Christ. That's the triumph of faith. Perhaps it's the wind and waves of discouragement or loneliness. And we see Christians month after month and year after year, cheerful and steadfast and constant and believing, walking on the waves, doing that which people can't do. But they do do it. What's the explanation? It's their faith in Christ that is holding them up. It is Christ that is holding them up. And by faith, they are joined to Christ and doing what they never thought they could do, what we never thought they could do. But Christ has come close to them in the storm. And he is enabling them. Faith's triumph. And then thirdly, we see in this passage, faith's failure. Faith's failure. We see it in verse 30. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Imagine the horror of beginning to sink. Imagine what Peter felt at that moment as his body started to go down. And he felt the cold water creeping up his legs and coming up to his waist. And he realized, I'm sinking. I'm drowning. The Greek verb describes someone being plunged deep, slowly and steadily, going down into the depths. He was beginning to sink. What must it be like to be drowning? To be caught out to sea by a current and realize that you're going under the surface of the sea, that your life is nearly over, that you are beginning to sink. Perhaps there are, not perhaps, certainly, there are Christians today in various places. Perhaps some even in our own midst. And you may feel, I'm beginning to sink. I can't keep going. I have walked. I have coped with a storm. But my strength is gone. And the wind and the waves are too fierce. And I'm going to go down. He was beginning to sink. Now, what had changed? Had Jesus changed? No. He was still there. He was still the same. Had the wind changed? No. The wind was no stronger than it had been a few moments earlier. The waves were no rougher. The circumstances were exactly the same. One minute Peter was walking, and the next minute Peter was sinking. And there was no difference in the circumstances. So what made the change? Why did he suddenly stop walking and start sinking? Matthew tells us, when he saw the wind, or the results of the wind, he was afraid. Had he not seen the wind before? Had he not seen the waves before? Of course he had. But now it was very different. He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he looked only at the wind and the waves. And he realized his own weakness. And he began saying to himself, what am I doing? And he began anticipating the future. And he forgot his recent triumph. And when he stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at the waves, he began to sink. And my friends, when we're in the storms, if we look too much at the waves, we'll sink. We'll sink. If we start focusing on our circumstances, on our situation, on our pain, on our loss, on our discouragement, if we start gazing at that and becoming obsessed with that and take our eyes off Jesus, we'll sink. We'll sink. That's what Peter did. As long as he had been looking at Jesus, as long as he hadn't really been thinking about what he was doing, he was all right. But as soon as he looked around him, I said, wait a minute. I'm standing here in the middle of the sea in a storm. What am I doing here? He began to sink. The difference was small. The difference was invisible. The difference was in Peter's mind, in Peter's heart. But what a change. As soon as he took his eyes off the face of his Savior and began looking at the waves, they were so terrible that he couldn't help going down in them. And very often, when our faith fails, It's because we're looking too much at the wares and not enough at the master. And I know that the wares are very cruel, very fierce, very frightening. But by faith we have to say, I won't look at them. I won't look at them. I'll keep looking at my Saviour and Lord. He'll help me to walk through the storm. And that brings us, fourthly, to faith's restoration. Faith's venture. Faith's triumph. Faith's failure. And faith's restoration. He looked back to Christ. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. This was a prayer in which two things are mixed together. Fear and faith. He prayed because he was frightened. But he also prayed because he was a believer. And those two elements are often present. We are weak. We are easily frightened. Sometimes you read the believer should never be frightened, but fear can be a good thing. Peter said, I can't cope. I can't manage. What I find so interesting about this is the very thing which damaged his faith restored his faith. The very thing which damaged his faith restored his faith. What was it damaged his faith? It was the wind and the waves. And what was it which led him to cry to Jesus for help? It was the wind and the waves. So the thing which frightened him reassured him. The thing which nearly drowned him brought him safety. And Matthew's telling us here that we can use our very fears to bring us back to Christ. We can use the very waves and the very storms to bring us back to Christ. Lord, save me, he cried, as he sank in the cruel waters. And what a beautiful statement there is in verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Now, he didn't need to reach out his hand. Jesus could just have spoken a word, and Peter would have risen again to the surface of the sea. Jesus didn't need to reach out his hand, but Peter needed him to reach out his hand. Peter needed to feel Christ's hand on him, holding him. And as soon as he cried out in his need, immediately the Saviour reached out and caught him, so that he couldn't sink. How reassuring. How wonderful. And when in our storms our faith falters and we say to ourselves, I cannot cope, I cannot go on, I'm going to sink, then, my friends, in those moments we're to look to our Lord and cry, Lord, save me. And in that moment, Jesus will reach out his hand, and he will catch hold of you, and he will hold you up, and you won't sink, because he's keeping you strong. He first caught him, and then he taught him. He didn't read him a lecture while he was sinking. He didn't say anything to him while he was sinking. He just reached out and caught him and held him. Lord, save me, he said. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Walking on the water. Now, as we think of this passage tonight, we must each ask ourselves, who am I? Where am I in this scene? Where do I fit in to this picture and this incident? Perhaps some of us are in the storm, walking on the waves. The Lord is upholding us. And the Word of God says, keep looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep praying to Him. Keep trusting in Him. Don't look down. Don't look down. Don't focus on the wind and the waves. They're there. You're aware of them. You must think about them. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking to Him. Perhaps some here tonight feel they're sinking. Beginning to sink. It's been a bad day, a bad week, a difficult time. You feel as if you're going down. And all you have to do is to cry out, Lord, save me. And our blessed Lord is so kind and so gracious and so powerful that He will reach out. He'll reach out with His hand and He'll hold you. And He'll not let you sink. Perhaps some of us are in the boat. And we realize that we're going to have to get out of the boat. And we see a storm coming. And we're afraid. How will we cope? Many times in life, as we come to the end of life, as we face illness or uncertainty, how will we cope when the wind and the waves blow fierce? The answer's here, looking unto Jesus. Perhaps some of us are sitting in the boat, comparatively comfortable. There's no call for us to get out of the boat at the moment. But we look out. We look out. And we see some of our beloved brothers and sisters walking in the waves in the middle of the storm. And our hearts are filled with love and admiration. And we praise the Lord who can so enable and keep His servants that they too may walk on the waters. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Father, thank You that Peter got out of that boat on the Sea of Galilee. And he did what no human being can do, because You upheld him. Thank You too that his faith failed, and he began to sink. And he cried out in his fear. You reached out Your mighty hand, and You caught him and held him. O Lord our God, we will all face storms in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in our circumstances. And the winds will be very fierce, and the waves will be very rough, and we will be terribly frightened. And many times we will think that we're sinking. O Lord Jesus, help us to keep looking to You. Help us to have that single-minded gaze, that we have our eyes fixed on Your gracious presence standing there beside us, with Your hand outstretched to hold us and to keep us. Help us, Lord, as Peter did, to cry to You in our need, and to know that no servant of Yours ever sank in the waters while he or she was looking to You and crying for Your help. Thank You, Lord, for extending Your hand to those in the wind and the waves. Thank You for upholding them and keeping them. Continue to do so, we pray, and to You shall be all the glory and the praise. Amen.